Genesis chapter number 6. Can you imagine this is the last Sunday in October? 2013 is just but a few months from being over, and we'll see 2014. Who would have ever thunk that? I remember when my wife and I were first married, and then a couple years later we got saved, and right away, of course, we believed the Lord was going to come back, and I'm still looking for the Lord to come back. And I thought when Jessica was born, I thought, I wonder if we'll ever see her go to kindergarten. The Lord will come back before that. And then I was called to preach, and I thought, you know, there's no sense going to Bible college because the Lord's going to come back before I ever get done with college. And then after I got out of college, the Lord impressed upon my heart to come here to Oak Harbor, and I thought, you know, what's the point of going to Oak Harbor? After all, the Lord's going to come back. But I was mindful to listen to the Lord anyway, because we don't know when the Lord is going to come back. It could be before I'm done with the message this morning. We don't know the day or the hour, but I am thankful that we are nearer than when we first believed. Amen? And I am thankful that regardless of when the Lord comes, I'm glad that my family is all in the ark of safety. And if your family is not in, I hope that you'll persuade them, because the door is going to shut one day and the door of opportunity is going to be over for them. Look at Genesis chapter number 6, and let's begin in verse number 1. Very familiar passage of Scripture talking about Noah, talking about the flood and what happened beforehand. And in Genesis chapter number 6, it says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that God saw, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. You ought to underline that part in the last part of verse number 3 where it says, And his days shall be 120 years. Look over, if you would please, in Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse number 13. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 13, we find that the whole world was corrupt and everybody did evil only continually, the Bible says. And we find that there was a man of the name of Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he was a perfect man, upright in all of his ways. And the Bible tells us in verse number 13 that God began to speak to Noah, and God said this to Noah. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me. The end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. The Bible says in verse number 13, the end of all flesh is come. You know, there was a time that God spoke to Noah, and God said, there's going to be 120 years. That 120 years, God gave Noah to use to prepare the ark. But He said, at the end of those 120 years, the end of all flesh is going to come. You know what He was telling Noah? He was telling Noah, Noah, you need to get busy because time is running out. Time is running out. I think time is running out for all of us. We are nearer than when we first believed to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, a young man was pastoring a church near the oil fields of East Texas. And on his way to the post office, he looked off in the distance and saw a huge billowing cloud of thick black smoke. Then he heard an ambulance and a fire truck rush by the post office. He knew that there had to have been an accident, probably on one of the oil derricks. And thinking that maybe some of his men from the church might have been involved in the accident, he quickly drove to the edge of town, and there he saw the oil rig burning with fire. A crew had been working on the oil well, and they had hit a gas pocket, and a spark had ignited that gas pocket, and all of a sudden the well turned into an inferno. There was a man there that was working high above on the rigging in what was called the crow's nest. And the people down below was urging him, come down. And he was telling them, keep the extinguishers on the flame. And as he came down from the crow's nest, he got about 15 feet from safety. And the smoke and the heat was so intense. He said, I can't go through those flames. And he realized how close he was to safety, but he just could not bear that heat. And so he climbed back up towards the crow's nest. He climbed through the heat and the billowing smoke. And the smoke overcame him. And this man, only 15 feet from safety, was knocked unconscious because of the smoke and the heat and fell off the stairwell down to the bottom of the platform and died. You see, he made a wrong decision. He should have went ahead and jumped through the flames to safety, only 15 foot. Maybe broke an ankle or a leg, but he would have been safe. But he made the wrong decision and he went back up and tried to escape. He made a wrong decision. You see, time was running out for him. The same can be said about the days of Noah. God said to Noah, there's 120 years and your time is going to be up here on earth. You know, it's interesting. The Bible compares the last days like it was in the days of Noah. And like it was, according to the book of Luke, as it was in the days of Lot. So shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. You see, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is compared to the times when Noah was alive. And so the question should be asked, just what type of days was it when Noah was alive on earth? Because it typifies the days in which we are living today, and it typifies the time period in which the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. I think that ought to help us to pay attention to our current events. I think it ought to help us to pay attention to what the Bible has to say concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. You see, Noah's days were running out, and I believe that our days are running out also. So what type of days were they? Look at Genesis chapter 6, look at verse number 2. When time was running out, Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 2 tells us that men walked after the flesh and not after the Spirit of God. It says in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 6 that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. You know, I really believe, young men, listen to me, if you're not married, you better wait on God. And if you will go ahead and choose someone after your own appeal and after your own fleshly desires, you will probably find the wrong individual for you. You need to wait on God and you need to pray and you need to ask God, Lord, I want you to bring someone into my life. You see, they began, when time ran out, men were walking after the flesh. They began looking at the things of the world, the sons of God. I believe that's talking about those who were saved. They began looking at the daughters of men. I believe that's talking about the unsaved women of the world. And they began looking at them, they said, good Hebrew word, whoa baby, as the preacher said the other day. And they said, wow, look at that. There's a nice looking gal. And you know what? That pleases me. By the way, isn't that what Samson said? Get her to me for wife, for she pleaseth me. And he chose someone that pleased his flesh. And when time runs out, men are going to be looking at all the things that the world can give them and what can please their own flesh. The sons of God saw the daughters of men and they said, you know what? This pleases me. And that is a sign of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. They began walking after the desires of the flesh and they took them wives of all they chose. Because of that, they became distant from God. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4 and verse number 8, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. I want you to ask yourself this question this morning. Do you feel distant from God? Does it seem like there was a point in time in your life when God was closer to you than what He is today? If that is the case, let me remind you, God is not moved. God is not moved. You have. And we need to understand the Bible says, draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. He says in the book of Malachi, return unto me and I will return unto you. You see, people have gone away from God, and the time period in which it depicts the Lord coming back was the same type of attitude and the same type of atmosphere spiritually as when it was when Noah was walking upon the face of the earth. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse number 2, it says, the Lord is with you while ye be with Him. And if you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Isn't that an interesting thought? You know, there's a lot of people that say, well, you know what, I know that God is with me, but yet they live so contradictory to the way that God wants us to live. You know, I think they're kidding themselves. Because the Bible tells us, if you forsake God, God is going to forsake you. Now listen, I believe that once you're saved eternally. I believe that. But you know, that does not mean that God's blessings and God's presence is always going to be there with you. Amen? I believe that when the Bible says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, John 3:16, everlasting life is everlasting life. Amen? And in John chapter number 6 and verse number 37, Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I'm glad that Jesus will never cast me out. When I stand before Him, I will never perish, John chapter number 10, verse number 28. But the bottom line is, that does not mean as I walk here in this world that God's blessings as a child of God are always going to be upon me. If I forsake God, God's blessings are going to forsake me. And so, number one, when time ran out, and that's what happened with Noah, and that's what happened to the people that were living. When time ran out, men walked after the flesh. Verse number 2. I want you to notice the second thing. When time ran out on Noah, wickedness was commonplace. Wickedness was commonplace. You know, we're living in a day and an age when men call good evil, and they call evil good. And that's commonplace with society today. In verse number 5, notice what it says in Genesis chapter number 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I've got a policy at my house. I do have one of those one-eyed monsters in my living room called a television. But I've got a policy in my house, if my television cusses at me, or if my television has adulterous things on it, my television gets turned off. Amen? And you know, it doesn't take very long to watch TV to realize that those individuals that are making those programs, the thoughts of their hearts are only evil continually. They say by the time a young person reaches the age of 18, they'll have witnessed over 18,000 murders. They will have witnessed over 20,000 sexual assaults. You say, well, that's not really affecting people. Really? I think it is. You see, time is running out and for Noah, and it was described as a time of wickedness. You read the newspaper. You remember, how many of you remember the Grit newspaper? Remember the Grit? They only published good news. They went out of business. You know why? Because bad news sells. I remember I used to like to get the Grit, and they had all kinds of common interest stories, and we would read through it and everything, and it had a lot of neat stuff in it. But like I said, it went out of business because good news doesn't sell. Sad. Verse number 5 describes it as a time of depraved life. Time of wickedness. The thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Depravity. Perpetual evil, verse number 5. It is described as a time when man corrupted his way upon the earth. Look at verse number 12, same chapter. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. All flesh. The word corrupt means to ruin. It means to be cast off. It means to spoil. You ever come across something that's spoiled? You ever open up your refrigerator and realize all of a sudden something in there turned into a science project? You open up the lid, you go, oh boy, that just reeks. You have to find a container outside to put it in the garbage can because you don't want to put it in the garbage can in the garage because it'll stink up the whole garage. And you know, it's spoiled. And that's what mankind has done. Mankind has spoiled. When you look at our society, many of us would say it stinks. And that's true. It says that they had corrupted their way. The word way is in reference to the path, the course of life, or the mode of action, or the journey that they have taken. Today, people aren't following after God for the most part. They're following after what can the world offer me? May I remind you, all the education that you can have and all the career plans that you can choose is all going to be left behind one day. And all the degrees that you have hanging on your wall are going to avail to nothing when you stand before God. And we need to realize that time is running out. And the only thing that's really going to make any difference is what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ. This time is described as a time of extreme violence. Look at verse 13 of the same chapter. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with what? Violence. Filled with violence. You know, I'm glad that the crime rate and the breaking and enterings have gone down in Toledo, Ohio. They've gone from 8,500 break-ins in 2012 and 2013. They're down by about 30% or so. So they only had, I don't know, 6,000 break-ins. Isn't that encouraging? Violence. It seems like every time you turn on the news, it seems like somebody is getting shot. People attacking others in schools. You know, I could never imagine that. I grew up in a day and an age, and I'm not that old. I want you to understand that. I grew up in a day and an age in a rural school system. I went to Lakota High School, not too far from here. When the in thing was, all the guys drove their pickup trucks to school, and they had a shotgun rack in the back window with shotguns in it at school. And there were days when the guys would bring their shotguns into the shop class and the shop teacher would help us work on them. And nothing was ever said. We would always get the first day of hunting season off when we'd come in there. And I remember a few times when guys would come in with their hunting license, just show them your hunting license, they'd give you the day off school. And there was guys that would come into the school with their hunting license and their shotgun. And the principal would say, hey, what do you got? Oh, you got a 12-gauge pump? Oh, great, you know, be careful with it. By the way, this was the same day that had Ag Day and all the guys in FFA drove their tractors to school too. So, I mean, you know, I guess it was just, maybe it was the school system. But I think today we are living in a day and age when violence is overwhelming our society. And we see all of these things happening with all of the domestic violence that's taking place and all the shootings and all the school violence and all of these things. And certainly we would have to say we are living in a day and an age like what is described during the time of Noah. It's described as a time of extreme violence. I want you to remember something. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And yet man has turned God into some type of divine butler that is to cater to our every whim and our every beckoning command. And let me just tell you, God is not a divine butler. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, when time ran out, wickedness was commonplace. And it seems like the only time when people have time for God is when the world is falling apart. Then they call out to God and they pray to God. And then when things start going better, they forget about God. Look at verse number 8 and 9. I want you to see the third thing. This describes the time period in which Noah lived. And the Bible says this time period is the time that all flesh is going to come to an end. When time ran out, only a few remained faithful. Look at verse 8 and 9. This describes Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a, everybody, just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Now I want you to notice a few things about Noah. Verse number 9 says, and it declares that Noah was a just man. In other words, he was lawful. He was righteous. Just. Verse number 9, it tells us that he was perfect in his generation. In other words, he had integrity. He was truthful. He was without... You know, it doesn't say that he was sinless. It says he was perfect in his generation. Which means this. It means that he was without blemish. He was complete. He was whole. The Bible tells us in verse number 9 that Noah walked with God. The Bible describes the world as the thoughts of the world was only evil continually. But Noah walked with God. The earth was filled with violence, but Noah walked with God. The whole world was lying in wickedness, but Noah was a just man and upright, and Noah walked with God. That tells me while the whole world was heading towards destruction, there was one man and one man alone that said, you know what? I'm not going to do what the world's doing. I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to seek after His blessings in my life. There are times when you may have to walk alone if you walk with God. But let me remind you, you're never alone. He was the only one that walked with God. It doesn't say in here that his wife walked with God. It doesn't say that Shem, Ham, and Japheth walked with God. It tells me that Noah walked with God. Now I hope and pray that in time, especially after the door of the ark shut, his family understood everything that Noah said. The Bible declares Noah as a man of faith. He was a just man. He was a perfect man. He was a man that walked with God. And he was a man of faith. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. He was a man of faith. God said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. It's going to rain and I'm going to destroy the world. It never rained according to Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 16 before that time. Only a mist came up from the ground and watered the whole thing, whole earth. And when so Noah, being a preacher of righteousness, said, God's going to destroy the world with a flood and it's going to rain, it's going to fall from the sky. Everybody said, you're nuts. That's never happened before. That's like preachers going around saying, one day the trumpet is going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to be raised incorruptible, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And they say, well, that preacher's crazy. That's never happened before. It's going to. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 5, he describes him as a preacher of righteousness. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in a flood upon the world of the ungodly. The Bible declares him as an obedient man. An obedient man. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Time was running out for Noah. He said, Noah, I'm going to give you 120 years. I want you to build an ark. This is the specifications of the ark. I want you to make it so long, so wide, so high. I want you to make it three stories. I want you to make it out of gopher wood. You say, what in the world is gopher wood? I personally really don't know. I looked it up, and nobody's really clear on it. The only thing I could figure is there's a lot of wood, so God just kept saying, go for more wood, go for more wood. I don't know. But could you imagine? 450 foot long. Now, some people believe that Noah and the people of those days were actually a lot taller than what we are today. There are some people that speculate that Noah could have been between 10 and 11 foot tall. Now, that tells me when it measures a cubit is from the tip of the elbow to the tip of the finger. I would think a 10 foot long or 10 foot tall man would have a longer cubit than we'd have. Amen? So who knows? The ark could have been maybe 600 feet long. Either way, there was a lot of wood. And he built it according to God's specifications. Noah was not only an obedient man, but he was a man that was concerned about his family and his home. And listen, as time runs out, the most important thing that you have in your life is your relationship to God, and number two, your family. For what should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own family? You say, the Bible doesn't say that. No, but I did, and it's true. You need to make sure your family's in the ark of safety. Noah made sure his family was in the ark. Number four, I want you to notice this. When time ran out, the door of opportunity closed. Look at Genesis chapter 7, look at verse 16. We find that the ark was completed. God brought all the animals in. Noah ushered them into the ark. They were there for 7 days before the rain started falling. But notice what it says in Genesis chapter number 7 and verse number 16. And they went in. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And say it with me, the last part of this verse. And the Lord shut him in. You know how many doors there were in the ark? One. Only one. There was only one way to go in. There was only one way to go out. And God shut the door. You know, we serve a God, according to the Bible, that He is the one who openeth and no man shutteth, and the one that shutteth and no man openeth. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 10 and verse number 9, Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. We find in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 20, Jesus said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 2, Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, the Bible says. Listen, there is only one time to get saved, and that is now. The door of opportunity for salvation is soon passing away. And if you've got children, and if you've got family members, and if you've got friends that are lost, behold, now is the time for them to get saved. And so we need to be witnessing to them because, like in the days of Noah, our days are running out also. Amen, preacher. Proverbs 27:1 says, Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You see, the door of opportunity for Noah closed. That means, listen, folks, there are some here today that probably need to be saved. And when the trumpet sounds and calls us out, the door is going to be closed. There are some that are probably here today that are distant from God, and you need to return to the Lord. The door of opportunity is soon closing. There are those of you that God has been struggling or God has been tugging on your heart about surrendering to Him for full-time service and to serve Him completely with your whole life. The door of opportunity is soon to close. And so we need to go ahead and surrender our lives to Him while there's opportunity. We need to return to the Lord while there's opportunity. We need to come to Him for salvation while there is opportunity. Genesis chapter 7, verse number 21, it says, "And all flesh died that moved upon the face of the earth, both of the fowl and the cattle and the beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man." You see, the Bible came true. God said in Genesis 6 and verse number 13 that the end of all flesh has come before me, and just the next chapter we find it happening. Look over at Luke chapter number 17. Say, "Well, preacher, that was Old Testament, you know. Those are just Bible stories." No, there were old biblical narratives that were true. And whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, according to Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. God had them there for a reason, to teach us. And like the time of Noah, our time also is running out. Look over there at Luke chapter number 17. And look at what it says in verse number 26. "And as it was in the days of Noe," or Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." Now notice what it says. "They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noe entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." You say, what's wrong with all of those things that are listed there? Nothing. There's nothing wrong with it. I didn't see anything that was really listed there that was wrong. They ate, they drank, I don't think it's talking about necessarily drinking alcohol. You know what verse number 26 is telling me? Before the Lord came back, they were so busy just with consumed with living life, they had no time for God. And we have to be very cautious about being so consumed with just living life that we don't have time for God. You see, when time ran out, it was like the days of Noah. Look at verse 28. "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot." By the way, the judgment of God fell during the days of Noah, and it fell again during the days of Lot. It says, "Likewise also in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded." If you read the Gospel of Matthew, you'll find it just talks about Noah. We find here in this passage it talks about Noah also. During the time of Noah, it talks about marriage. During the times of Lot, there's no mention of marriage. It's interesting that marriage is on a downward plane. Fewer and fewer people are getting married. It's just socially acceptable to shack up. So, preacher, you shouldn't say those things. How else should I put it? Socially acceptable to just live together. Commit adultery. Fornicate. Those are biblical terms. Amen. So that's not good to speak that way. I'm just saying those are biblical ways of saying it. In the days of Noah, there's mention of marriage. In the days of Lot, there's no mention of marriage. Isn't it amazing? The days of Lot were known for their homosexuality. By the way, they can call it whatever they want to call it. And the states can go ahead and say, yeah, they're married. But you can't condone what God condemns. Amen? And homosexuality is a sin against God and it's a sin against mankind. And I'm here to tell you, you can say it's marriage. God says it's wickedness. Time is running out. I think we see the upheaval of the homosexual agenda as nothing more than a sign of the times telling us it's not going to be long before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. For they did eat and they drank and they married wives and were given in marriage in the day that they entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. You say, well, that was back then. Well, let me give you a New Testament verse. The book of Acts, chapter number 17, verse number 30. And the Bible says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but commandeth all men everywhere now to repent. Why? The next verse says, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. The Bible tells us there is a day appointed that in which God is going to judge the world. That tells me this. Like Noah and like Lot, that appointment day is soon approaching. And that tells me that our time is running out also. The problem is, man is not heeding the signs of the times. Man is not heeding the preaching of righteousness like they did during the time of Noah. A preacher of righteousness for 120 years, you know how many converts he had? His wife and his family. That was it. And yet he stayed faithful as a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. Man is not preparing their households against the day of judgment. You better prepare. Don't let time run out on you. If you're not saved, you ought to be saved today. If you have not been preparing your family, you need to prepare your family. The door of opportunity may close even today. Let's bow our heads, please. Someone once said, the clock of life is wound but once. And no one has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. The present only is our own. Live, live, toil with will. Place no faith in the future, for the clock may then be still. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, but I do know this, that our time is short, and we need to go ahead and prepare our families and our friends to meet the Lord. Today, if you don't know the Lord is your Savior, why don't you come and trust Him today while there's opportunity? Father in heaven, Lord, we ask and pray that You bless this invitation. Lord, we give it to You. I pray, Lord, that You'd guide and direct. Have Your will and way in our life. Lord, save those that are lost. Those that are distant from You, I pray, Lord, that they rededicate their lives to You today. Help us, Lord, to be a witness of the saving grace of God to those who we come in contact with. And we ask it in Christ's name.